Good morning, everybody, and welcome to TABC, to all the current students and parents, and as I mentioned before, so honored to have even a grandmother here today, and to all of the 8th graders and prospective students, so just welcome, and we want you to feel very much at home here with us today on this President's Day holiday. As is self-evident, the topic that I chose, Shlomo Shel Malchus, which we'll see, is an expression that has its origin in Pirkei Avos, is really very much to the theme of the day in terms of President's Day and the Jewish relationship with government. As Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Rav, always used to point out, halacha doesn't only have something to say about the laws of Kashrus or the laws of Shabbos or ritual matters, but halacha has something to say literally about every aspect of our lives, and that's certainly true of our relationship with the government. So in the first part of the shiur, this morning, what I aim to do is to try to delineate three sort of universal perspectives about our relationship with government. And then in the second half of the shiur, to try to focus specifically on what I see as the unique elements of our relationship with the government of the United States of America. That's something that's certainly been on everybody's mind these last number of weeks. And to try to put things a little bit in historical perspective, I think most people are aware that the reason that we celebrate President's Day when we do has to do with the birthdays of Washington and Lincoln, certainly two of the towering figures of our national heritage. So we'll focus on Washington and Lincoln, but I hope to be able to expand a little bit from there as well. So with that introduction, let's jump right in what I call, again, the first part of the shiur, three principles of interaction with government, which are not really specific to the United States of America, but could be said really in any generation. The first source, as I alluded to, is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim Omer, Rabbi Chanina, who was the assistant Kohen Gadol, would say, Hevi mispalel b'shloma shel malchus, that we have an obligation. There's a halacha that I'm sure is observed in every one of your shuls and batei knesios, that we have to daven b'shloma shel malchus, for the welfare of the government. And then there's a clause which adds on, which I think is of great significance, and I think you'll agree with me, she'il male mo ra'ah, because if it wasn't for a certain awe of Malchus, ish es re'ehu chayim bela'o, which means that if it wasn't for some kind of an order or structure to government, a person would literally consume his fellow. Or what philosophers, let's say Thomas Hobbes, referred to as an Enlightenment philosopher, referred to the state of nature where there is no civilizing force of government as short, nasty, and brutish. You have these kinds of forces, the atavistic forces of society, which are unleashed on each other, and without some kind of a governmental order, so of course things become untenable, and there becomes an intolerable level of violence. And this is not the only place that Chazal spoke about this. There's a remarkable Gemara in the first parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah. You have it here in the second source, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara uses an incredibly colorful image to expand on this lesson of Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. The Gemara says, Ma dagim shebayam kol hagadol mechavero boleas chavero af b'nei adam il male mora'a shel malchus kol hagadol mechavero boleas chavero. That is to say, just as the fish in the sea, so you know, the sharks eat the smaller fish, and the smaller fish eat the smaller fish, and the smaller fish eat the smaller fish, you know, and it goes all the way down, I guess, with the exception of the whales who eat plankton. But you know, basically, you have the rule of the ocean is a rule of might makes right. Ma dagim shebiyam kol hagadol mechavero boleas chavero. So without a government, the Gemara is saying that this becomes our reality. Whoever is stronger, whoever has more money, whoever has more arms is more powerful. There are no rights to the minorities, etc., etc. V'hainu ditznan, Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim Ober, hem yispalo b'shloma shel malchus. And it was in this context, and this with this image in mind, of fish in the sea literally consuming each other, il male mora'a shel malchus, ish es re'ehu chayim bela'o. Without the awe or reverence for malchus, there really would be the state of nature, and everybody would suffer for it. So the reason I say this is significant is really twofold. Number one, it establishes a precedent and a priority of davening on behalf of the government, a Jewish or non-Jewish government alike, and the value of order. The second point that I wish to highlight here, it's not because Chazal had overly romantic or idealistic notions about government, but they saw the alternative as completely intolerable, as potentially catastrophic. And that's an important element here. It's not as if we're seeing yet, in the sources, hopefully we will see, this kind of an embrace of government and a welcoming attitude towards government, but there's a sense that whatever the alternative is really far worse. But once you get to certain psukim in Yirmiyahu, it is possible to interpret our relationship with the government in somewhat of a more favorable light. This, of course, Yirmiyahu is the Navi that spoke about Korban Bayis Rishon, and he's the Navi that sort of gives the Jewish people their blueprint as to how they're supposed to act in their first diaspora, in their first galus, which is the galus of Babel, which was, of course, for approximately 70 years. So Yirmiyahu gives the following instructions as to how the Jews are meant to conduct themselves in their first national diaspora in Babel, in Babylonia. So this is source 2a, Ko'amar Hashem Tzvakos Elokei Yisrael, L'chol HaGolah Asher Higleisi Mirushalayim Bavela. Here are my instructions for the entire diaspora that I sent out of Jerusalem to the north, to Babel. Banu Vatim Vashavu V'netu Ganos V'yichlu Es Peryan. I want you to settle down there, I want you to build homes, I want you to plant gardens, and to eat the fruits. Kchu Nashim V'holidu Banim Uvanos. You should continue your normal family life, have children. Kchu Livnechem Nashim V'espinoseichem Tenu LaNashim. He's not advocating for intermarriage, he's saying, of course, within the Jewish people, but you should continue to have families, even though the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was certainly a cataclysm, life must go on. V'seilavna banim uvanos uruvu sham, and you should continue to expand there. V'al timatu, do not allow yourselves to become quantitatively diminished. Now here's the critical part. V'dirshu, and you should seek out es shlom ha'ir asher higleisi eschem shama. You should always seek out the welfare of that place to which I am exiling you. V'hispalalu va'ada, and you should daven for it. This is obviously the antecedent, the source, where Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim wasn't operating in a vacuum when he said, Havi mispal b'shlama shel malchus, he was really reiterating a lesson that was first taught by Yirmiyahu HaNavi, where he says, Hispalu va'ada el Hashem, that you should cry out to Hashem, daven for Hashem on behalf of the diaspora, on behalf of the governmental authorities in that place, ki v'shloma, because through its peace, Yihye lachem shalom. Okay, that through the welfare, the general welfare of the society that you have been exiled to, you yourselves will merit greater peace and greater welfare. So of course, one can take a very pragmatic view of this particular source in Yirmiyahu. He's not again suggesting that there's some kind of an embrace of government, but just a recognition, almost a self-serving recognition, that we'll do well if there's peace in the society in which we find ourselves. But if you take a look at the next two sources, I think what you'll find is something a little bit more optimistic or embracing of the idea of our interaction with government. So Rashi commented on the Mishnah, Hispalo b'shlomo shel malchus, kimo she'ne'emar. Rashi starts by quoting the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, V'dirshu eshlom ha'ir asher iglesias chem shama, afilu be'umos ha'olam, even when it comes to non-Jewish government, shekein matzinu shehayu nodru nedaru nedavus bishvilam, because when the Jews were sovereign in their own territory, we used to offer korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash on behalf of non-Jews. That is a halacha. A non-Jew can offer korban ola. We have to administrate it for them, but that is certainly a halacha in Kadshim. Ukimosha matzinu b'shivim parim shayu Yisrael b'vim b'chag al shivim ha'umos. Rashi says, this isn't just a rabbinic concept, but this is in fact a din de'oraisa, because we know the rabbinic tradition, Maseches Sukkah, that the 70 cows which are offered in decreasing order, remember this is famous from the Hanukkah story, Beis Shammai says we go 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, based on the Parei Achag. The Parei Achag are 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. You add it up, do the math after the shir, you'll come to 70. There were 70 cows which are offered, Keneged Umos Ha'olam. And Rashi takes a very favorable view of this. This is our way of expressing concern for all the nations of the world. In other words, not just places where we happen to live, where we can somehow benefit if the government does well and that society does well, but you already see here, by Rashi linking Shloma Shel Malchus to the Parei HaChag, which reflect all of the nations of the world, some kind of investment in general world order and the security and peace of the world. And if Rashi alludes to it, Rabbeinu Yonah was famous for his authorship of the Shaarei Tshuva, and we learned Maseches Brachos last year. Rabbeinu Yonah is a critical Rishon in that particular Masechta, right next to the Rif. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says it quite explicitly. And he says it's not really only about governmental authorities, but when we talk about Shloma Shel Malchus, we're really talking about the government as the representatives of all of the people in that particular society, and that our true intention is to daven for the welfare of all of humanity. It's a remarkable passage here in Rabbeinu Yonah. It's really worth seeing inside. Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim Omer, this is the fourth source, the top of the second page, Havim Ispalu B'Shloma Shal Malchus Elmalei Mora'a, Sheikash Aleinu Ish Esrei U'Chayim Balo. Zeh Inyan Ratzel Omar, Sheyesh La'adam, Lehispalel Al Shlom Kol Ha'ulam. What the Mishnah really means to say is not just for your local government, certainly that, maybe giving priority to that, but to pray for the welfare of the entire world, ulihitzta'er, very beautiful, al tzar shel acherim, and to be pained by the suffering of people all over the world, v'chein darkan shel tzadikim, and these are the ways of the righteous, lehispalu al kol b'nei adam sheyamdu b'shalom u'vishloma shel malchus yesh shalom le'olam. So Rabbeinu Yonah takes perhaps the most expansive, ambitious, and idealistic reading of this Mishnah, where it's not just that the alternative is a state of nature and absolute chaos, but that we're really supposed to internalize the suffering of people all over the world. Certainly, we have the most direct vested interest in the welfare of our government and the citizens of our countries, as Yirmiyahu spoke about, V'dirshua shlom ha'ir asher atem shama. But Rabbeinu Yonah says that this Mishnah really spoke in much broader terms. Now, this idea that we're concerned that there should be order in society is certainly something which is reflected in halacha in a very profound and inalienable way. I'll just mention it very briefly. We don't have to see the next three sources inside, but it's something that it's important to be aware of. Everybody agrees that one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach is dinim. Okay, is the idea that there should be laws to every single society. This is not particular to the Torah. There is a very famous dispute you have in here in the fifth and sixth sources between the Rambam and the Ramban, between Maimonides and Nachmanides, as to what dinim constitutes. The Rambam's view is that dinim, that there have to be court systems in place in every province, even in non-Jewish countries, to make sure that the other six mitzvot b'nei Noach, like not stealing and not committing acts of adultery and not murdering, are adjudicated properly. That's the view of the Rambam, that dinim is essentially the seventh and final mitzvah b'nei Noach, meant to protect and ensure the enforcement of the other six. The Ramban takes a far more expansive view. He says that's not what dinim means. What dinim actually means is that societies are expected, the Torah expects societies to develop an entire code of civil law. That is a kind of a consumer protection bureau, the Ramban explains, that people shouldn't be ripping each other off in business, that people should basically be honest as far as loans and payback is concerned. Certainly there should be no outright theft. There shouldn't be the kind of image that we found in the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah of Ma Dagim Shabiyam Kol Agadol Mechavero Balea Eschavero Af Bnei Adam Kol Agadol Mechavero Balea Eschavero. So this machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban is certainly important, but what everybody agrees to is even more important, that the Torah expected dinim to be not a feature of the Jewish people. We certainly have a very robust system of choshen mishpat, of what's expected for us. Ve'ela mishpatim asher tasim lefnehem, as Tani read this morning. This is the parsha of dinim. But beyond our immediate fraternity, it's something which is certainly expected of the Jewish people itself. But perhaps the most dramatic expression of the idea that the halacha placed enormous value on the laws of a society is a concept which is familiar to all of you, dina de malchusa dina, that the halacha carves out an entire area, and indeed is a very broad area, where the halacha says that the halacha is to respect the dinim of that particular society. Now there are two broad opinions within the Rishonim which are cited by the Ramah. This is worth seeing inside. I'll just read very quickly the seventh source. But the very notion of dina de malchusa dina, that the halacha has such respect for the need for law in society, that it says that whatever the laws of society are within this particular sphere, then that becomes the halachic standard. Right? That's a remarkable expression. Torah tziva lanu Moshe marasha kilas Yaakov. It's not as if we lack for our own understanding of laws, but the idea that we're supposed to respect law and order in the society in which we find ourselves, I know of no greater expression than that, than dina de malchusa dina. Now, if you take a look at here, the seventh source, this is actually from the Ramah. The Ramah quotes a machlokas rishonim between the Rush and the Mordechai, the Truma Sadeshen, about what the parameters and the scope of dina de malchusa dina are. So the Ramah begins with the minimalistic view. Yesh omrim, this is the view of the Rush. The only real halachic area covered by Dina de Malchus Adina are essentially real estate taxes that are imposed by the king. Ki HaMelech Gozer Shelo Yidor Ba'artzo Ki'im B'derech Zeh. Because the king has an implicit contract with anybody who lives within this particular area, within this particular society, that the only way you're allowed to live on this property is if you agree to the taxes. So there's kind of a tacit consent, use an expression we'll come back to, or an implicit contract between the king and the denizens, the citizens of this particular area, that they're going to respect the real estate laws put in place by the king. Otherwise, they can't live there. So that's a relatively minimalistic perspective, a very narrow view of Dina de Malchus Adina. But the normative view, as quoted by the Rama, V'yesh Cholkin, there are those who dispute this, who Svira Lahu, De Amrinan Bechol Davar, Dina de Malchus Adina, V'lachain Hamavel Amashkon, etc. Ho'ol V'chein, Dina de Malchus V'cheinu Ikar. The Rama basically means to say here that with respect to all monetary law, Dina de Malchus Adina, it's not just the local law of real estate taxes, but even as respects private commercial loans. Dina de Malchus Adina, just because in America you're allowed to eat a cheeseburger, doesn't mean that we're allowed to eat a cheeseburger. It's not meant to cover the laws of Kashrus or Shabbos, basically areas of Yoredei, a ritual law. But as far as Koshen Mishpat, there is this very broad definition of Dina de Malchus Adina. So in summation, this is really the first principle of interaction with government. Hispalo bishloma shomalchos ilmale mora ishes reu chayim balao. We saw relatively narrow understandings of that if the government is not successful in imposing order, society will become like an ocean where the larger fish consume the smaller ones. But within this particular source, we saw perspectives that were more ambitious about it, such as Rabbeinu Yonah and even Rashi, that talk about really investing and caring very deeply, even to have a sense of tsa'ar, of suffering, when we see people wherever they are in the world that are suffering. And insofar as government can do something about it, we should pray not just for the welfare of government to protect us, but hopefully the welfare of government to do something on behalf of that suffering. And again, within this first principle of interaction with government, we noted that the halacha placed an enormous value on dinim in general. The Rambam and the Ramban have a disagreement as to what the scope of dinim is, but what everybody agrees to is that there is a halachic expectation that all societies will have laws. And then we saw the Ramah's view that Dina de Malchus Adina essentially covers the entire area of commercial interactions and not merely real estate taxes. Principle number one. Principle number two is something of a more cautionary note, also a Mishnah from Pirkei Avot. This is the eighth source, and it's what I call the second principle of general interaction with the government. The Mishnah says as follows, Hevu zehirin birishus, be very, very, very careful about your interactions with the government. Ein mekarvin lo la'adam elo l'tzorech atzman. They only draw a person close, they sort of give this facade of being your friend, l'tzorech atzman, when it suits their needs. They present themselves as if they're very friendly to you. She'ein mekarvin lo la'adam elo l'hana'as atzman, the Mishnah goes on to say, ve'ein omdin lo la'adam b'shas dachko. But they're not going to be there for you when you really need it. So this Mishnah is obviously very skeptical of governmental authorities and say that they have their own agenda, they have their own interests, and